Be still. Be still and know that I am God. We live in a very busy, noisy, loud world. And it's not easy to be still, is it? How did that moment of silence go for you? I know at hockey games or sporting events, they say we're going to have a moment of silence, and you know, most of those moments are somewhere about 12 or 15 seconds long because that's all we can handle. We want, we need, we desire, we must have noise around us. Be still. This passage of scripture, Psalm chapter 46, in the middle of this chapter is this verse. Be still and know that I am God. And if you look at the context around these words, you'll discover there is a lot of noise going on. Listen to these words. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. The last time you heard mountains falling, was it quiet or loud? Ask the people that live up in Cache Creek. I was reading a story recently of a mudslide that came rushing through a man's house, and he said, all I heard was this thunderous loud noise outside before this wall of mud rushed past my house. Though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Hear the noise? It's noisy. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. He makes wars cease because there's so much going on. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He does all of this, and then in the midst of all this noise going on, we hear these words, be still. The word here is Rapha. And the word means to cease, to relax, to be quiet, to put down. Just stop the noise for a moment. Be still. Helen and I were shopping for a few minutes yesterday at Orchard Park, and we grabbed a quick lunch at the food court. And through lunch, as we were sitting there looking deeply into each other's eyes, she said to me, listen to how noisy it is. I was expecting, I love you. But no, it was, listen to the noise. It was so loud. Be still. Be quiet. I want to talk to you this morning for just a few minutes about two what we would call spiritual practices. Some would call them spiritual disciplines or spiritual habits. We, in the Christian world, we need spiritual practices within our life, because without the spiritual practices, we are busy trying to be a good Christian. I use that word very purposefully. If I was an athlete, if I was a 50-yard dash kind of guy, or 50 meters or whatever, and I took on an Olympian, who do you think would win? Them or me? Yeah. I could try. I knew I could get it in under a minute for sure. But an athlete is trained to run that thing fast. And we're no different in our Christian walk. There are many people today in our churches who are trying to be a good Christian. I'm just trying. And reality, friends, is we need to be trained and we need to train ourselves. And the spiritual practices help us train to be a deep follower of Christ. Some of those practices are meditation, prayer, simplicity, fellowship, fasting, Sabbath, worship, and on the list goes. Various practices, and this morning I want to talk about two of them because they tie well together, and those two are these: solitude and silence in our lives. Solitude and silence. There's a difference between those two. The word solitude means this: when we spend time in solitude, we get away from all the things that are distracting us from our reality. Kelly Mahoney says these words: we see inside our lives, our thoughts, and our behaviors. Solitude brings us peace that we just can't get when we're surrounded by others. It allows us to decompress and take the stress off of our day. Solitude means we step out of the noise and we go and find a place all by ourselves. Solitude. There may be activity going on. We may be listening to worship. We may be, walking. We may be sleeping. We may be reading a book. But there's activity, but we're by ourselves because the whole purpose is to come to a closer kind of connectedness with Jesus. Solitude. Silence. Robert Sarah says this about silence: through silence, we return to our heavenly origin, where there is nothing but calm and peace and repose. There's silent contemplation and adoration of the radiant face of God. Isn't that beautiful? Silence is when we just walk away from it all. And we go find a place in our house, in our yard, in the mountains, by the river. We look for silence. There's no conversation. There's no music. We're just trying to be still and hear the voice of God. We sit in silence. And we listen. When I practice silence, I'll often take my Bible and go and sit and find a place where it's just me and God, and I'll just sit there and read the scripture and listen to the Spirit speak. Silence. Because oftentimes, friends, in our busy, noisy world, we don't hear the voice of God. Richard Foster, in his book, The Celebrations of Discipline, which is a book maybe many of you would know, it's an older book that was written with great insights into the whole aspect of disciplines or practices. And he says this: there is freedom to be alone, not in order to be away from people, but in order to hear the divine whisper of God better. I love that. Mark Batterson wrote a book called Whisper, and I read the book recently, and I was just like, this is such a good book. And it really talked about those practices. And in this book, Mark talks about an event that happened on December the 26th, 2004. Does anybody remember the big world event happened December 26th, 2004? A tsunami. The third largest earthquake ever to hit the earth recorded is 9.1, happened out in the Indian Ocean. And this tsunami created, or this earthquake created a tsunami that was 100 feet high, moving at a pace of 500 miles per hour towards the coastline. It is recorded now that nearly 280,000 people lost their lives that day to the power of this tsunami, wiping out all it came across, except for, there's a small tribe called the Molkan people, the Molkan tribe, that live by the sea. And the Molkan people began to listen because they knew how to read and understand the waters and what was going on because they lived on it. They began to see something happen in the water, and they began to listen closely. And those on the island realized, or on the land realized, there is something coming and we've got to get out of here. We must get to safety. And it's recorded that people saw this group of people, this small tribe, running to the mountains. And those who were out in the ocean, those who were out fishing, rather than like the rest of the fishermen who made a beeline to the shore, they turned their boats and headed straight out to the ocean, deeper and deeper, and actually caught the wave when it was a lot smaller. It is recorded that not one of the Molkan tribe were lost in this tsunami. Not one. Because they knew how to listen to the sea. Mark goes on to say this in his book, like these seafaring people who speak the language of the sea, we Christians speak the language of the Spirit. When was the last time you heard the voice of God speak to you? Let me ask that question again. Think about that. When was the last time you personally heard the voice of God speak to you? The word for whisper in Hebrew is damama, and it can be translated this: silent, stillness, or calmness. Silence, stillness, or calmness. It's that intimacy, that intimate whisper. We have three grandsons, Micah, Wyatt, and Weston. Sure sounds like a good Western movie to me. And recently I said to Micah, our oldest, 8 and a half, I said, Micah, come here, I've got a secret to tell you. And he came running up, and I put my lips to his ear, and he leaned in close. You know how you do that intimately with a, and he leaned in close, and I told him, I love you. I love you, Papa. Intimacy. When's the last time you heard the whisper of God? A whisper is so powerful. A whisper demands intimacy and closeness. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 19. It's a story we know in 1 Kings 18. It's a story of Elijah. We all remember this story, I'm assuming. And that is the story where Elijah built an altar, and the prophets of Baal and Asherah built an altar. And over here, these guys began to call their God to put fire on there, to burn their altar. And Elijah stood back, and now maybe this is a little Brian-ology, but it's, I think he stood there and mocked them out. Or maybe you should call louder because your God is away, or maybe he's sleeping, or maybe he's in the bathroom, or maybe he doesn't quite hear you. Call louder! And they screamed louder. And they screamed louder, and they began to cut themselves in worship. Oh, come, come, great God of ours. And after the mess was just all over, and it was ridiculous, Elijah said, okay, stop this. It's my turn to show you God. And he had him build an altar, and he put the wood on, and he put the offering on. Then he said, I want you to go down, and I want you to bring a bunch of buckets of water and pour it all over the altar. And then I want you to go do it again. And Cam, could you just go do it one more time? And they just soaked this altar in water. And then he just stood back and said, okay, God, be God. And we all know the story. The fire came and it destroyed the offering and the wood, and it exploded the rocks. It just destroyed everything. The power of God. We love it when we see the power of God. Elijah's leaving the hill, the mountainside, and a messenger comes to him and it says these words, "This is a message from Queen Jezebel, and her words to you are this: may the gods deal with me ever so severely if by tomorrow at this time you are not dead." And instead of Elijah going, "No way, man, I got a incredibly great God," he turns in fear and runs for his life. He is in despair. He is distraught. He's just, this heaviness came upon him. Great sadness to the point where he said, "I'm the only one left, God. You know what? Could you just take me out? Just take my life right now. I want to die because I'm the only one left." Well, God was gracious, didn't listen to his prayer, sent him to the desert, where he sent him for 40 days, where he restored and renewed his soul, gave him food to eat, gave him rest for his body. And at the end of that time, he said to him, "I want you to go to Mount Horeb. I have something to say to you." And so Elijah goes to Mount Horeb, and this is where we pick up the story in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And it says this: "The Lord said, 'I want you to go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord." Ah, the power of God. Oh, if we just had the power of God like that again. Oh, that would be so great. "But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire." We know about that here in BC, don't we? "But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper." And if you read on in that passage, you discover that God whispered his instructions next to Elijah. "I want you to do these things." You can pick it up this afternoon or sometime and read the rest of it. I love what Mark Batterson says. When God wants to get our attention, he has an outside voice. But when God wants to be heard, he often speaks in a whisper, in silence, in quietness. Friends, do you have a quiet place? Do you have a quiet place where you can go and hear the voice of God speak to you? He has much to say. He loves to converse with us. Why? Because he created us. Genesis chapter 2 says, and the visual is that he's down and he's forming humankind out of the dirt, pulling it together, creating, making the nose and the face and the arms and the body and the toes and the fingers, and he's creating this body out of dirt, and it's just there in dirt. And then it says, he breathed into us life, spiritual life, physical life, emotional life. He breathed into us, and out of his breath, he created us to be in relationship with him. The scriptures say that Adam and Eve walked with him in the coolness of the evening, and they conversed and talked. Beautiful picture. We were made from intimacy, out of love, out of relationship. God wants to talk to us. Can we hear his voice? Psalm 139, and I don't have time to read the whole psalm, but it's a powerful psalm. It's all about God and his presence in our life. And he says, the psalmist says, "If I go to the mountains, you are there. If I go to the river, you are there. If I go to McDonald's, you are there." He just says it all. He said, "I am so fearfully and wonderfully made." He said, "In the very darkness of my mother's womb, you were there putting me together. Piece by piece by piece." Intimate, intimate, intimate. God with you you with God. Intimacy. Togetherness. Solitude and silence takes us to a place where we are ready to hear the voice, the whisper of God. It brings us to a place of readiness to speak with Him, to hear what He has to say to us. He may say to us how much He loves us, how much He enjoys us, how much He cares about us. He may have instruction for us to do something or to go someplace. He may want to talk to your soul because there in the darkness of your soul is a sin or sins that He goes, you know what? It's time that we deal with this little issue going on in your life because this issue is hurting our relationship and I want to clean it out. A quiet place. A place to listen and hear. I came across a quote. It's actually a page out of Albert Benjamin Simpson. That's our founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And in his book, His Life, Albert Simpson talks about a place of silence and his struggle with this. And he says these words, "Years ago, a friend placed in my hand a little book which became one of the turning points in my life. The book was called True Peace. It was an old medieval message, and it had but one thought, that God was waiting in the depths of my being to talk with me if I would only get still enough to hear Him. I thought this would be a very easy matter to do, and so I began to get still." Oh, this is simple. I can do this. And he began to get still. "But I had no sooner commenced than a perfect pandemonium of voices reached my ears, 1,000 clamoring notes from without and from within, until I could hear nothing but their noise and their din. Some of them were my own voice. Some of them were my own questions. Some of them were my own cares. Some of them were my own prayers. Others were suggestions of the tempter and the voices of the world's turmoil. Never before did there seem to be so many things to be done, so many things to be said, so many thoughts to be thought. And in every direction I was pulled and pushed and greeted with noisy acclamations and unspeakable rest." I gave you a moment of silence to start this time together. How did it go? How many thought, where is he? Did he fall asleep? What's he doing? How many thought, a moment of silence, I'm going to take advantage and sit here and listen to Jesus. You see, so much is going on around us. That it's difficult. This is not an easy practice. I'm not giving you something easy to do here, friends. I'm giving you a tough practice, a tough discipline. Simpson goes on to say, "It seemed necessary for me to listen to some of them, but God said, 'Be still.'" So he's got all these things going on in his head, and he says, and yet all I hear is God saying to me, "Be still and know that I am God." Then came the conflict of thoughts for the morrow and its duties and its cares, and God said these words, "Be still." And then there came the very prayers which my restless heart wanted to press upon Him. "God, I've got so much to talk to you about." And God said these words, "Be still, Albert, be still." As I listened and slowly learned to obey, and shut my ears to every sound, I found that after a while, when the other voices ceased, or I ceased to hear them, there was a still small voice in the depth of my spirit. And as I listened, it became to me the power of prayer, the voice of wisdom, the call of duty. And I did not need to think so hard or pray so hard or trust so hard, but that the still small voice of the Holy Spirit in my heart was God's prayer in my secret soul and God's answer to all my questions. When I Helen and I attended a conference called the Soul Care or Soul Formation, and it was a 4 retreats based over 4 days at each retreat, and it was all about spiritual disciplines and all of that. And we began a new journey of walk for her and I as we began to listen. And I remember the first time I sat down in silence, and I'm like, this is going to drive me crazy because I can't do this. I lasted 10 seconds, and then the thoughts came rushing in, and I'm like, come on, I can do this. And I said, I can do this. And it took practice, and it took practice. I remember reading a quote from a monk who said these words, isn't this wonderful? And I'm like, you have no clue what I'm going through. You're a monk. Isn't this wonderful? 1,000 thoughts compressing into your brain, it gives you 1,000 opportunities to ask Jesus for help. 1,000 times, oh Lord, I need your help. Could you just capture that thought for me? Could you just remove that thought for me, please? Could you just take that away from, you know what, that's an important thought. I need to, could you just put that aside and bring it back later? And you just, and I began to practice that. And I literally, I'm a visual kind of guy, and I literally, like the hand of Jesus just going, I'm going to take that, I'm going to take that thought. And I sat there, and 10 seconds became 30 seconds, became a minute, became 3 minutes, became 5 minutes, became longer and longer. And I just, it took me time. I'm not talking I got her done in a day. Weeks, months, practice. Practice. And I would read scripture and then sit and listen to the scripture and say, Lord, speak through your word. Speak through your spirit. Speak through the beauty of your surrounding of nature that you've created. Speak. I want to hear your voice. When's the last time you heard the voice of God? When's the last time he whispered into your ear? Into your heart. You will grow stronger as you apply these practices into your life. I want to take just about a few minutes. That covers usually from about 5 to 15 minutes. So I want to take a few minutes. And we are actually going to practice right now, right here. So here's my instructions to you. We are going to be still for another moment, complete silence. And then I'm going to read to you a part of Psalm 139. And I want you to say, Jesus, will you just speak to me through your spirit? And what do you have to say to me today through these words? Just listen. And then I'll give you another moment of silence to meditate. Maybe he has something more to say. Maybe he has something direct for your soul to hear today. Up on the screen, it's going to come real quick. Practices, which you can get a copy of this, and it's a daily exercise. It's for 30 minutes. It's called listening prayer. How do you do this? It's you quiet yourself, ask Jesus to captive the thoughts, read scripture. After you've quieted your soul, and you listen, we're going to do this in just a couple minutes. But take 30 minutes and do this. Also, there's an opportunity to do a retreat, whether it's a half-day retreat or an all-day retreat. Step away. Bring what you need to bring, whether you want to do solitude with some activity or silence and just listen. Go find a place of quietness. Tony's here this morning from Fairhaven Ministry, and it's a beautiful place to go. Do you affirm that, Tony? Yeah. Fairhaven is a beautiful retreat center up in the mountains outside of Vernon. It's a beautiful place. And I know many pastors go up and find quiet up in the mountainside. It's a beautiful place. I love what Richard Foster says this: no noise or conversation, just you and God. Our fear of being alone drives us to the noise and crowds. We keep up with constant streams of word, even if they are inane. We buy radios that strap to our wrists or fit over our ears so that if no one else is around, at least we are not condemned to silence. But you get the picture. We're scared of silence. So let's practice. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Nobody's looking at you. No one's watching but God Himself. I'll give you a moment, and then I'll read a brief scripture, and you meditate on those words only, and then I'll close the service. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full. Gracious Father, thank you for forming, molding, making us, creating us in your likeness, breathing life into us, and desiring intimate relationship, intimate conversation, intimacy together with you. You are not some God way off in the distance. You are not some God that has walked away or is asleep. You are a God that is very present and very real and very close. And oh, you love to speak to your children. Father, you know our world and you know what's going on and you know how busy everything is. And so, Lord, as we practice this discipline today, tomorrow, throughout the next week or month or whatever, as we begin to put this back into life, Lord, speak to your children. Speak in the stillness. We ask. We desperately need to hear your voice. In your precious name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you this week as you go, as you shine the light of Christ to everybody you encounter, every person you see, everybody you talk to this week. You get to be Jesus to them. How cool is that? May God bless you and give you strength, and may He give you an overwhelming sense of His presence. And as you take time to step aside and to listen, may you hear His voice afresh and anew in your life. God bless you. You are dismissed.